Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. As you are making your travel plans for the summer, remember JohnnyDollarAir.com. JohnnyDollarAir.com is our Priceline affiliate page. And you can go there and go to Priceline, get all the benefits of going to Priceline.com, including naming your own price on hotels, rental cars, airline tickets, and even more, or choosing from great published fares. And part of your purchase price benefits the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio at no additional cost to you. On October the 30th of 2009, we presented the Dick Powell audition for yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and set about to go through every audition and broadcast episode of Johnny Dollar, and where broadcasts weren't available, we used a few rehearsals. And now here we are, a little more than 9.5 years later, ready to reach the concluding episode of the series ever to be broadcast. And this one was originally aired on September the 30th of 1962, the last broadcast of the Golden Age of Radio. And the title of today's episode is The Tip-Off Matter.
Johnny Dollar.
Johnny, this is George Hardy at Northeast Indemnity Association.
Yes, George.
Got a pencil and piece of paper?
Sure.
Then write this down.
Go ahead.
130-07-0583.
Got it. So?
He wants to see you.
Who does?
130-07-0583 at State Prison.
Oh. You know his name, George?
No, but if it's who I think it is, well, Johnny, you just might find yourself going for the commission on $100,000.
The CBS Radio Network brings you Mandel Kramer in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator,
yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Northeast Indemnity Association, Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the tip-off matter. Expense account item one is $4.60 for a tank full of gas, despite the fact that the state pen is only a few miles south in Wethersfield, a town with a population of about 20,000. Where the father of our country once planned the historic Battle of Yorktown. In other words, George Washington slept there. An assistant warden led me not to one of the cell blocks, but to a screened-off corner in a hospital ward. The man who lay there was in his early 30s, but he looked 100. Thin, drawn, emaciated, with the pallor of death on his face. It was a full minute before I recognized him as Turner McGackey, up for safe-cracking, whom I hadn't seen since the day the judge handed out his term some 10 years before.
Pretty funny, huh, Dollar? I'm due to get out. Instead, I lay here dying.
Oh, now, come on, come on. Who told you that, McGackey?
Now, come on, don't you try and kid me, too, Dollar. I ain't got long, and I know it. That's why I had him sent for you, see. Maybe you can stop a killing, Dollar.
A killing?
From that safe job that got me in here.
That was 10 years ago.
Only they never found the loot from it, did they?
Oh, I see. And you know where it is, Mac?
Look, this ain't easy, Dollar, me telling this, but You're the only one I got any respect for.
Respect for me? Mac, I was partly responsible for putting you here.
Yeah, sure, Dollar. I hated your guts. Then I did. Only yesterday, the warden... He told me about what you've done for Tommy. My kid brother. About the home and foster folks you got for him. About you seeing he'd get educated. Like the way that I never did.
He was a nice kid, McGackie.
It's all because of you that kid has a chance to play it straight. Get somewheres.
I think he will, too. He doesn't know about me. He didn't know I was there, Mac.
There?
Yeah. I stood in the crowd and I watched him graduate from high school. With honors. You'd have been proud of him, Mac.
Yeah. Proud. And on account of you give him what I couldn't never give him.
Tommy deserved a chance like any other kid. That's all.
Yeah, but the way you done it. You're letting him think I'd been killed. Some kind of an accident. You're never letting him know about my record. What I really was. And now he's got no spots on him. He's got nothing to live down to make him ashamed. And all this time I didn't know about what you've done for him. I just kept hating you. But I didn't know.
Look, Mac, that's all water under the bridge now.
So now I'm going to make up to you, Dollar.
There's no need to, Mac. Look, you're getting tired. I better leave
you
now.
Yeah, but the loot from that safe job, 100 G's.
Oh?
So, listen. Listen. Real careful. Real careful, Dollar.
He told me then about Joe Pirelli, an old crony of his. Pirelli, now posing as a fisherman, living in Mac's old cottage on Peconic Bay, Long Island, near the town of Cutchogue. He told me about a safe in the cellar of the cottage, and the fact Pirelli knew only half the combination to it. And the other half? 2 weeks ago, when he'd found out that he was going to die, Mac had given the other half to a crook by the name of Danny Russeloff, who pulled the heist with him, who was also there in the pen, who'd not only been a box man, but a killer. Okay, fine. Except for one thing.
I wouldn't have told Danny. Not if I'd known then about what you'd done for my brother.
Look, Mac.
But now I do know. So it's you that... You that's gonna have that dough.
No, it'll go to the insurance company, Mac.
Look, Danny gets to him first. Danny'll kill Pirelli.
Take it easy now. Don't get yourself too excited.
Don't you see? Having the whole combination between them. Danny'll get the dough. Danny'll kill Pirelli.
Well, look, if you gave me the combination.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, then.
You'll give me your word. You'll protect Pirelli. Danny is keeping a dough for me all this time.
Mac, I'll do what I can for him. But first, while I'm here at the pen, I better get things straight with Danny Russeloff.
No, Dollar. Danny's getting out of here today.
Getting out? You mean they're releasing him?
Yeah. So you gotta go for that dough and... Now, go see Pirelli.
Okay, Mac. Now, the combination of the safe...
Yeah. First it's right. Turn it right.
Yeah.
Number. Dollar, I can't breathe.
Mac.
I'm calling Dollar.
Come on, Mac.
Help me.
Orderly.
Help me.
Nurse, get a doctor in here.
The doctor got there. McGackie was dead. I asked the warden about Danny Russeloff then.
Yes, Mr. Dollar, we sent him on his way about an hour ago. And all I can say is good riddance.
Okay. Expense account item two, $150 for a plane, a charter job. We took off and headed south. How Dick Spiedel, the pilot, ever managed to sit down among the sand dunes near Cutshaw in semi-darkness, I'll never know. But after a walk of about a mile, I found a gas station. Item three, $20 to the gas jockey for the use of his stripped-down vintage car.
Sure, man. You just negotiate that next turn left. You see it down there?
Yeah.
And then you swing another left on the sandy road you come to,
mm-hmm.
and you stop when you make the bay. It's a beat-up old shack with a wore-out old pier in front of it.
Okay.
Oh, and if you don't see him around or he don't answer when you knock, go on in anyhow. It's probably because old Pirelli's liquored up like he mostly is and has fell asleep.
All right, thanks.
Oh, and just be sure to get my car back here by midnight when I close up, huh?
Right. Mike? Pirelli? Anybody here?
Stop knocking down that door. Come on, open.
Okay. All right, Pirelli, Oh.
Yeah.
You got a gun, hmm?
Because I've been waiting for you.
You're a lousy shot, Pirelli.
I'll get you. Okay, Danny, I give up. I give up, Danny.
Danny, huh? Is that who you were waiting for with this gun? Danny Russeloff?
Yeah, I thought... I read Danny was getting out today. Who are you? Who are you, mister?
My name is Dollar. Now sit down over there by that table.
Yeah. What are you doing here?
I've come to pick up some money, Pirelli. $100,000.
No.
From the safe in your cellar.
No, you got no right to that.
I haven't, huh?
You think I didn't know what's in the safe?
I'm sure you did. And it all better be in it now.
That's Max, though. McGackie's.
He's dead, Pirelli. Only a couple of hours ago in the prison hospital.
You're lying.
You want to call him up and check on it?
Dead. McGackie's dead, huh?
That's right.
Oh. Now, half of that dough is mine. That's mine, Dollar.
I don't think so.
But no. Dollar, huh? You Johnny Dollar? You're the insurance deck.
That's right. And I'm here to get that money.
No.
I'm also here for another reason.
Yeah? Like what?
To save your worthless carcass if I can. You don't believe that, huh?
I never trust no cop, and you're a cop.
Look, Pirelli, get one thing straight. Personally, I couldn't care less what happens to you. I've got no use for you. A man with a record like you piled up over the years...
Look, I paid for everything I done. I served time.
And for holding onto this hot money? My only reason for trying to keep Danny Russell off from killing you is because I promised McGackie I would.
I can take care of myself.
Like you did when I came barging in here?
Okay, so maybe you... Maybe
look,
maybe
Danny Russell off's the killer, and he's got the other half of that safe combination.
What?
Yes. Because McGackie gave it to him when he found out he was going to die. And you think Danny couldn't force your half out of you with a gun in your belly? If you refused to help him open that box? And then when he got the dough, he'd kill you.
No, I still wouldn't tell him my half.
He'd kill you anyway and then blow the safe. That used to be his business. So whatever happens, Pirelli, without me, you end up dead.
Dollar, listen.
Now, look, I know it'll mean breaking my word to McGackie, but if that's the way you want it, all I have to do is just sit on the sidelines, wait for Danny to get here, for the safe to be open one way or another, see you get knocked off, and then move in on Danny.
Yeah, okay, but maybe I can get him fresh.
Sure. Go on. Try it. But if you do get lucky, if you do kill him before he kills you, I promise you one thing, Pirelli. I'll see you end up in the chair. Would you like to think about that for a while? Just don't take too long, though, because I doubt if Danny's going to waste much time getting down here. And if I'm not around when he does get here... Well, Pirelli?
Okay. Well, what do you want me to do?
Got enough food around here to keep us for a couple of days?
Sure, I got plenty.
All right, then I'm moving in. Have you got a phone?
No. Only plenty of food and booze.
Yeah, I can see that. Is there any other way to get here, Pirelli, besides the road that turns off near the gas station?
Not unless somebody tried to get here with one of those helicopters.
All right, then from the gas station, I can tell if somebody's heading in here.
Huh?
I'll see you later. Item four, back at the gas station, out on the highway, $100 even.
$100? Oh, for that man, I'll ride a bicycle or borrow my sister's car, and you can keep the old crate.
No, Jimmy, I'll only need it for a day or two, I hope.
All the time you want. And is there anything else I can do, Mr. Dollar?
Just let me have a handful of change to throw at this payphone of yours. Item five, $380 for a call to George Hardy at his home back in Hartford. I gave him the whole story.
Good, Johnny, good. I had a feeling it had to do with that safe-cracking job we had to make good on. Now, how do I contact you down there?
You don't. I'll have to contact you. What are you thinking of?
Well, you said this Danny Russeloff hasn't shown up there yet.
Not yet, though he's had plenty of time by now.
Maybe Danny's playing it smart now he's on parole.
What do you mean?
Well, he's supposed to report in here in Hartford where he used to live, isn't he?
Probably.
So he'll do that first to give a good impression. Make everybody think he's on the up and up.
Maybe.
And then when he figures nobody's watching him anymore, then he'll make his move, right?
Except that I can't see him wasting any time about getting his hands on the money, or at least making sure it's still here. So, George...
Yes?
Get hold of Pete Larkin.
The private detective?
Yeah, tell him it's for me. Tell him if Danny is there in Hartford to keep an eye on him day and night. And if he leaves town, I want to know it so I can be ready for him.
Okay. And meanwhile, what'll you be doing? Have you called on the police down there?
I don't even know if they have any in this little town. What's more, a couple of cops prowling around would only scare him away, and I want to get him. I'll check back with you three or four times a day.
Okay. And at least we know where that $100,000 is now.
Do we? Maybe I better get back out to Pirelli and make sure. The safe was still there in Mike Pirelli's cellar, intact. And Mike himself, in the process of getting very, very drunk. But in answer to my question...
Okay, okay. Why, it's only the last two numbers of the combination that I know.
All right, what are they?
It's two. Two turns to the right.
Two turns to the right? To what number?
It's 81.
Two turns to the right to 81.
Yeah.
And then?
Hey, listen, Dollar.
And then, Mike?
Then left. Left 14.
Then left to 14.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Hey, listen, Dollar, I'm scared now. You got me scared. Give me this.
Here, go ahead. Help yourself.
Yes.
Maybe enough of that stuff will at least keep you... Hold it. Listen.
What?
Hold it.
What?
You hear that?
What? Yeah. It's a car out there.
All right, let me douse these lights. You see it there? You know that car?
No. Yeah, but that's him. It's Daddy.
Be quiet.
He's coming in here to kill me, Dollar.
I pulled to a stop. I quietly slipped over to one side of the door and grabbed the knob. I drew my gun and waited. For a long moment, there was no sound out there. Then a car door opening and closing quietly. Then footsteps on the wooden sidewalk. And then as I felt in touch the doorknob, I turned it and swung open the door.
Say... What's the matter, man? What's going on here? Why are you palming that cannon?
Sorry, Jimmy. I was expecting somebody else.
Man, I hope so. Hey, what happened to him, to old Pirelli?
Oh, well, he...
Yeah, I see the jug now.
Mm-hmm.
Falling down drunk again, huh? Oh, but here, Mr. Dollar. The reason I stopped by is I forgot to give you this key to the trunk of my car in case you need it.
Oh, okay, Jimmy, thanks.
And listen, I've been thinking...
Mm-hmm.
Your name is Dollar, huh? Johnny Dollar, that investigator? Man, I think you're the most...
Look, Jimmy, if Johnny Dollar was around here, if he was setting a trap for some crook...
Yeah?
And if anybody blabbed about it to anyone, Johnny Dollar might end up very dead. You understand that?
Don't worry. Don't you worry. Just let me know how you make out, will you?
I'll let you know.
Yeah. And thanks. Thanks, Johnny.
Item 6, in the next 3 days, $41 for more telephone calls to George Hardy. Yeah, Danny Russeloff was in Hartford, but sitting tight. So maybe George had been right. But how much longer I could keep old Pirelli under the influence without doing him serious harm began to worry me. And I was afraid that if he got sober, he might turn on me. Then the fourth day...
And listen, Johnny. I mean, mister. As soon as you get through making that call, I want to tell you something.
Yeah, okay, Jimmy, sure.
And I hope you haven't been worried about my telling anybody you're here, because I haven't told anyone.
Hello?
George?
Johnny Dollar?
Yeah.
Thank goodness you called. When I got back here from lunch, Pete Larkin, that private eye you had me call...
Yes?
Early this morning, Danny Russeloff got away from him.
He did.
Pete's lost him entirely. So, Johnny, if I were you...
Okay, George.
Now, what I was going to tell you...
Jimmy, I'm sorry. I haven't time now.
But about that other car that started down the road...
What?
Yeah, down at Pirelli's place.
When?
About an hour ago. But then it came back to the highway.
Did you get the license?
Well, I didn't get the number. It was Connecticut, though.
All right, and after he came back to the highway?
Down that way.
I see. Look, Jimmy, is there another road around here that goes to the bay?
Yeah, the old fishing club below Pirelli's place.
Okay. Here.
A sawbuck?
Yeah.
But why? What did I do?
I'll let you know. I started down the road to Pirelli's, but no... Because if it had been Danny, the reason he turned around to come back to the highway was because he'd seen my car there. So instead, I took the road to the fishing club. And there it was, beside the abandoned clubhouse, a rental job with Connecticut plates. Leading away from it were footprints in the sand, leading toward Pirelli's. As I got close to the cottage by crawling on my belly behind the sand dunes, I managed to work my way around to one of the windows. I waited and listened. Not a sound inside. A trap? Maybe so. Maybe Pirelli's still hoping for a crack at the 100 grand had taken a chance and gone over to Danny's side. Well, there's only one way to find out. I raised up just enough to look into the room. There on the floor lay Mike Pirelli. Dead. A bullet hole in his forehead. So he hadn't told his half of the combination. That meant there was only one way Danny could get the dough out of that safe now. And the door to the cellar was wide open. Yet if I tried to lift the noisy old window and climb in without some other sound to cover... But Danny himself gave me that. By the time the noise of his nitro job on the safe had died away, I was inside the house and halfway down the cellar steps.
All right, Danny, raise them up over your head.
Huh?
Don't move. Get those hands up high.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, mister?
Well, look. You reach for a gun, Danny, and I'll pull the trigger.
Oh, no, you don't. You see this? This bottle, mister? Nitro. It's nitro, and I can throw it even with a slug in me, and you're dead.
If I can hit that bottle from here...
Now, back up. Drop the gun.
You try throwing that bottle of nitro, Danny.
Yeah, at you.
Set it down now, gently. Set it down.
No, no, I'm throwing it now.
I'd heard of such things, but never before quite believed them possible. But so help me, when I picked myself up on the edge of the wreckage of that cottage, most of my clothes were blown completely off. And yet, by some miracle, I suffered no more than a couple of bruises and a slight headache. As for Danny, well, let's not go into that. He's paid for all his crimes. Expense account total, $349.40. And don't forget my commission. In spite of the fact that a lot of bits and pieces of that money had to be pasted back together. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Can you get premium gasoline performance at regular gasoline price? Find out what so many other car owners have found. In 3 out of 5 cars, regular priced Sinclair Dino gasoline matches performance of premium gasolines, saves you up to 4 cents a gallon. Almost anywhere you see the Sinclair sign, you can save up to 4 cents a gallon with Dino and still get premium performance and mileage. Drive with care and buy Sinclair Dino Gasoline. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is written by Jack Johnstone, produced and directed by Fred Hendrickson. Johnny Dollar is played by Mandel Kramer. Also featured in our cast were Jackson Beck, Joseph Julian, Jack Grimes, Bob Maxwell, and Peter Fernandez. Music supervision by Ethel Huber. Sound patterns by Walter Otto. Tomorrow begins a new week's hilarity with Arthur Godfrey Time on the CBS Radio Network.
Welcome back. I enjoy the tip-off matter. Now, I will say this is the second time I listened to the episode. We did a 50th anniversary of the end of the golden age of radio back in 2012, so I've heard it once before, but this is one of the best written episodes of the Mandel Kramer era. There's quite a bit that's going on here that I think works pretty well. I like the scene with the guy in the prison for the most part, where there is, you know, some very sincere ideas that really set off this story and set Johnny's goal for the episode. I think there was also some great suspenseful moments, and Mandel Kramer really got to, you know, be in charge, particularly when dealing with the crook who had custody of the safe. The end is a bit more problematic because Johnny survives pretty much through dumb luck. But in defense of that end, Johnny has had a lot of that throughout this series. And, you know, if you're going to your last scene before the series goes off the air is a big explosion, well, I don't hang then with that particular scene. So it was a good finale. I was listening a few months ago to Greg Taylor on of the Decoder Ring Theater, who wrote Blackjack Justice and the Red Panda Adventures. And he said that most series don't need like a big finale. And he was saying that of a series Blackjack Justice. And I think you can say the same thing of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. It didn't need any big plot resolution, but what it did need and what it got was a pretty solid episode. I'd say this was probably one of the top two or three of the Mandel Kramer run. Now, John Abbott, in the latest edition of the of his Who Is Johnny Dollar book, mentions that there was actually a script written for after this episode, which does give you a hint of how little notice that Johnstone had been given that the series was ending. And according to Abbott, there actually were like alternate versions of the script depending on what the network decided to go with. So it wasn't a final, it wasn't like finalized what was going to happen. So we know probably he had about 2 weeks' notice because of that little teaser at the end of the last episode indicated that they knew that the series was going to be ending. And after this episode, suspense aired, and that brought to an end the golden age of radio, which didn't mean that radio drama was totally going away. You know, after the end of the golden age of radio, you know, the very next week, the Salvation Army put out another episode of Heartbeat Theater, and Pacific Garden Mission put out an episode of Unshackled, and then in 1964, Pacifica Radio put Matthew Slade, Private Investigator, on the air, and in 1965, you got ABC doing Theater 5 over the air. But when people mark September 30th, 1962, as the end of the golden age of radio, they're talking about the end of this period where radio drama was such a big part of major network programming. In many ways, it had been fading for a lot of years. You compare the amount of programming, say, in 1951 to what you had in 1955 to two programs left on CBS in 1962. And it had been going through a slow and steady decline, but this marked the end. And the end of Johnny Dollar, which had been canceled once or twice, depending on how you consider the end of the Edmund O'Brien series in 1952. But this time, it was for good. We will be restarting our journey through yours truly, Johnny Dollar, but not next week. Next week, I've got a little bit of a surprise for you. It's still going to be Johnny Dollar, but I will tell you about it next week. You definitely want to listen for that. And then we'll be back tomorrow with Dragnet. And I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon of the day. And I want to thank Greg, who became one of our Patreon supporters in March and is currently supporting us at the Detective Sergeant level. Thanks so much for your support, Greg. And join us back here tomorrow for Dragnet. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.